brother here who said it on, as we were leaving, he came up and he did, somebody said, I'm pretty sure it was my brother here. He said, did it look like Jesus was had victory when he was on the cross? Did he look victorious? He looked defeated. He looked, his disciples were running off and hiding. His the only ones there were, seemed like the women, the Mary, his mother, Mary Magdalene, and those who've been, you know, God had done some great work in their life and a lot of grace and mercy. They were there, but his disciples were running off and hiding and peeking around and lying, and Peter was cussing. I mean, they were acting foolish.
That was Cliff.
Huh?
Cliff.
Well, that was Cliff. The ones who were called to be the apostles were acting foolish in the storm. They're out there denying them. No, I'm not with them. Blankety blank blank blank. You know, they're running and hot. They are acting fools. But their destiny was to be apostles that turned cities upside down. But the storm got them. Because it didn't look victorious at the moment. How many ever been a storm that felt, or a battle that just didn't feel like it was victorious? Like, where's the victory in this? What, is this my reward for being faithful? Is this my reward for trusting God? I have. Yes. I don't know if you have, but I have. Is this my reward, God? Is this what I get for trusting you? Me, you know, trying to be real with God too. But did it look victorious? No. Because you didn't see the full plan walked out yet. You didn't know he was still going to be put in the grave. And then it felt like they nailed the coffin with that big old rock in front of it with the seal of the leader. That anyone who breaks this will die. And God says, I don't care. I don't care about man. Move aside the rock, break you in half. Move aside soldiers. And move aside, you know, leaders of the world. I don't respect your laws, your decrees, anything against it. I have work to do with this. I'm going to fulfill my purpose, my plan, and my will with my son.
Come on.
Go ahead, Jesus, walk on out. Come on out. Everything that seemed impossible, God said, made possible. Did it look like they were victorious when the Hebrew children were coming out of Egypt and they were finally getting to breathe? Like, okay, we've come out of 400 years of slavery. We're on our way to our promised land of milk, the land that flows with milk and honey and vineyards, and boy, we're on our way, and praise God, I'm highly favored and blessed. And then they find themselves camped where the Red Sea's in front of them. They got the mountain on one side. On both sides is a mountain. One is a fortress, an army fortress. The other is a temple unto the God of the storms. And behind them is Pharaoh's army. At that moment, did it look victorious? It does not look victorious sometimes. And the answer was so simple. He just said, stretch the stick out. And someone has a message on that about the same stick that opened the waters. Don't start beating the rock next time you get ready to enter the new land.
That's right.
Don't let your flesh get involved and start beating the rock with the same stick that opened the waters.
That's right.
See, what some of your prayers that opened up the impossible last time, don't now turn and start cursing God, Jesus the rock.
That's right.
Before you enter into your new land.
That's right.
Right before you complete the journey, you were so faithful all along. Don't give up at the end.
Yes.
This scripture, though, came to me. Or not, it's not a scripture. It was something that came up. So where am I at here? Oh, so anyway, Cliff had mentioned, you know, and you can go through all the Bible of situations where it did not seem victorious at the moment. Mm-hmm. But those are testimonies of how God brings us through those moments. So if you're at a moment like that and you don't see victory, just trust God. He's done this before. This is not new. He's not surprised. He's not caught off guard. Oops, I didn't see that coming. I should have seen that. I should have figured. No, he's got a plan. Many times, the reason why your plan is delayed is because of doubt, unbelief, or the enemy, or there's curses or witchcraft over, like we're talking about prophetic. The enemy will try to block off the blessing or block off your access. But your worship has the ability to break through all that second heaven realm. Because God wants to bring you up into a realm where you can look down on the enemy rather than look up. But this Oswald Chambers, I think it was on our church Facebook, he said, we must pray with our eyes on God, not on the difficulty. Oswald Chambers. And that stuck with me all week. I must pray with my eyes on God and not the difficulty. I'm praying about the difficulty, but I'm going to keep my eyes off of that and keep my eyes on God. So I had a whole message on the Jesus, the conception of Jesus and the issues there, but I'm going to skip all, look at this, just pages of, get down to the nitty gritty. Yeah. It's real good too, man. But one of the things that stood out to me was another scripture that came up. It was called, somebody sent me this, it was out of Isaiah 43, talking about deep waters. Let me read it out of the Amplified Version first. Isaiah 43, 1 through 4, if you can put that up in the Amplified Version. It says, but now this is what the Lord your Creator says, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you from captivity and called you by my name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I have given Egypt to the Babylonians as your ransom, Cush, ancient Ethiopia, and Seba is promised in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my sight, you are honored, and I love you. I will give other men in return for you and other people in exchange for your life. The scripture is actually in 43:3, where he says, one of the versions says, when you walk through deep waters, I will be with you. And I faced some things over this last week, and that was the scripture that I just kept walking through. Lord, when I'm walking through deep waters, you said you'd be with me. Lord, I'm walking through deep waters, but I know you're with me. God, I'm walking through deep waters, but I know you're with me. I know I'm walking through deep waters, God. I don't have answers. I don't know how. I feel like I'm going to drown. I don't know the future, but God, you're with me. God, I'm walking through deep waters, but I know you're with me.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Remember last week I said, grab that one scripture and come prophetically sing it? Well, yeah. This is mine. I was singing it while we were worshiping.
Amen. Amen.
I just did it on the mic, but I'm back here like, when I walk through deep waters,
amen.
You'll be with me. Let me read it out of the Message version because, you know, sometimes the message gets down a little bit more clear to us modern 2025 people. Mm-hmm. Says in Isaiah 43, 1 through 3, but now God's message. The God who made you in the first place, Jacob, the one who got you started, Israel, you can insert your name right there.
Amen.
Let me say that again, and you just yell out your name. Let's interact here. But now God's message, the God who made you in the first place, Lolita. Antonio.
Lolita.
Man, you don't know your name, I guess. The one who got you started,
Monty.
There you go. Don't be afraid. I've redeemed you. I've called your name, your life. Because I paid for you.
Amen.
I started your journey. I am faithful. He that beginneth it is well able to finish it. I'm that person, he says. I'm the one. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I know the beginning and the end. I wrote your story before you was even on the earth. I have a plan and a will and a purpose for you, a destiny that you're to walk out. This is what the enemy comes after, is the destiny of God in your life. This is why you get discouraged. This is why he tries to trip you up. It's not because you're so, you know, to be honest, we're really, I don't know what we are to the enemy. It just don't seem like, I feel like there's more important people than me. You know, like, why are you concerned about me?
Right.
But each of us carry a part of God's destiny for nations.
Amen.
We don't realize our words can shift nations and cities and whole families and whole bloodlines. So yeah, he's going to come after you because some of you are cutting off things. You're telling the enemy no more.
That's right.
It stops with here.
Yeah.
My children will not fight the same demons I fought. They will not fight the devils I fought. They will not fight the diseases I fought. Yeah. It stops here. And if I got to battle through this, I'll battle through this.
Yeah. Amen.
But now God's message, when they say, don't be afraid of your mind. Verse 2, when you are in over your head, I'll be there with you. When you're in a rough waters, you will not go down. And when you're between a rock and a hard place, it won't be a dead end.
Yeah.
Come on, it's not over.
Man.
Because I am God, your personal God, come on, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior, I paid a huge price for you. He said all of, and this is when he was speaking to Israel specifically at this time, he said all of Egypt with rich Cush and Seba thrown in. He said, I took nations to move them aside so that you would have room. I took down kingdoms that were defeating you, and I crushed their armies. I made victory for you. I fought their battles, and I made an exchange of your enemy for you because I love you. I called you. I will deal with others on your behalf.
That's right.
Verse 4, that is how much you mean to me. That's how much I love you. I'd sell off the whole world to get you back. Trade the creation just for you. Come on. Does that sound like God loves you and cares for you?
Yes.
I would sell off the whole world to get you back.
Amen.
I would trade creation just for you.
Awesome God. Awesome God.
He is the God of impossibilities. My message, full message, was the whole conception the issue of covenant through betrothal. But I'll get to it some way. It's kind of cool. I looked into that whole, and it's the whole message there that God has the whole salvation message within just those four, couple of scriptures of how Jesus was birthed into the earth. There's the whole steps of how we walk through in salvation.
Play it, buddy.
Amen.
But I wanted to just get to the part today because they had to walk through some storms. We don't see that. And the reality is, when sometimes when we read the Bible, we read a little scripture and Job did this, or Joseph did this, or David. And we lock it into just a few paragraphs or a sentence. But the reality in life, we know that our life cannot be wrapped up in one sentence. We have days and weeks and months of struggle. We don't tell the whole story, even our own self. When people ask, how are you doing? We lie and say, I'm all right, I'm okay. We try to wrap it up in one. But if we get real honest, then we just say, well, it was kind of tough, and had some disappointments, but I got over God. I mean, God was hard. I got through. But you're still not telling the whole story. You don't say that I've been dealing with this and the doctor put a word over me that I'm at stage 4 or something, blah, blah, blah. And I'm or that I lost someone in my family, or this happened and I was betrayed. And you don't tell them I was broken. I was laying on the floor in fetal position, weeping and crying. And I didn't know what to do. I was driving through mountains with tears out of my eyes. I'm out here yelling and I almost feel like cussing and mad at you, God. And you don't tell them the whole story. So when you read the Bible, they wrap it up in a paragraph, but you don't know their full story. You just know that they were in a tight bind at that moment. I don't know your full story, but I know some of you have gone through some stuff. And I know the enemy's at work, but today we're going to come into agreement with God's word that God has sent angels with keys to unlock some heavenly realms, to unlock some of your situations. God's been waiting for you to come into agreement with his word.
Amen.
Jesus,
yes. It's real easy to come into agreement with the enemy's word for some reason. They say, oh, you got stage 2 this. Oh. And you believe it. You haven't even seen the test yet. I don't feel it, but I guess if you say so. But God says something, we're like, I don't know, that's kind of a little bit out there. You know?
That's right.
The God who created the universe has just said something to you?
Yes.
And you're like, maybe. I might.
That's right.
What about take anybody else's word?
Yeah.
Kind of turned around. Huh?
Yeah, we'll take anybody's. I have enough as a pastor.
Yeah.
I have enough as a mayor.
Right.
But it just seems to find me all the time. Pull me out to the public. And I'm like, our family's like, we don't even want this. We don't even like this. We're not even about this. Here we are. Lord, I'm in deep waters.
Amen. Amen.
You can borrow that for this week if you need it. Isaiah 42. 43:2. When I'm in deep waters, he will walk with me.
Amen.
Jesus said it to Peter, look at me. Keep your eyes on Jesus, not the difficulty. Peter was walking on deep waters. He didn't know what was below him. All he knew was there were storms around him, waves around him, storms above him. And the minute he got his eyes off Jesus, he began to sink. Keep your eyes on God and not on the difficulty, okay? We got one more worship song. Let's worship one more song. And I want you to understand. I want you to come into agreement. We might have to make a decree at the end if we get there before we eat. We're gonna eat right away. We're not going to delay too much. Our hand. You can put, I don't know if you need to put your stuff in the oven before. You need somebody to put your stuff in the oven?
Oh, I...
You did it? Okay. Let's stand. Let's finish in worship today. Let's just finish with this song and see where God takes it. It might be a 2-minute song. It might be a 20-minute. It might be an hour long. I don't know. But let's just worship. I want you to picture the prophetic word for this day. God has sent angels. He's got a few that are very specific that have keys to unlock. God wants to take the lid off of you.
I trust in God.
God wants to take the lid off of you. He wants full access to you. The enemy's been trying to lock up your access. You've been locked into something for a season. We talked about it 2 weeks ago as we moved into this break month. This is a month where we shift cycles. We break an old cycle and we start a new cycle. We break the cycle of poverty and we start a cycle of prosperity. We break a cycle of sorrow. We begin to enter into a cycle of joy. We break off cycles of discouragement and we break into new cycles of encouragement. Whatever the cycle is that you and God are talking about, this is the season we break off. We've been dealing with it for about two, three weeks. Break, but because we're in this new month, we're in this new season of prophetic. God's word is saying, I'm getting you ready for a new thing. 26 is going to be very, what you sow and what you do in 26 will have significance for quite a while. This is the reason the battle has been so hard in 24 and 25. Enemy's trying to stop something. There is, I don't know how much you see revival. There is revival breaking out everywhere. All over. But all we hear about is the battle. All we hear is how everybody's fighting. Nobody likes each other. Everybody's divided. God is bringing together whole nations of birthing revival. Whole colleges. Whole states. Georgia just gathered leaders. Every county was gathered in worship 2 months ago. Let's get ours, Idaho. Let's get ours, Lafayette. Let's break through. Let's get to the place where we're above our situation. Come on. Have you not heard? Have you not seen? Don't you know that God loves you? He'll trade the nations for you. You're in a deep place, in deep waters.